Lifelong learning, cognitive development from the womb through adulthood. In this podcast, I will speak from my experience as a mother and my education studies, along with having experience on educational levels from early childhood up through adulthood. I will also speak from a standpoint as a whole child education consultant looking to develop a whole child education practice. How does advanced cognitive development begin, and what sparks the interest in lifelong learning? Cognitive development and the spark for lifelong learning begins in the womb. It all starts in the womb with how the mother and/or both parents relate to the fetus, the developing baby. In the womb, your developing baby can bond with you through awareness of how you feel and the emotions you have towards your developing baby and sensations you bring to the baby. These feelings, thoughts, or sensations may include calm, protection, happiness, confidence, warmth, joy, expressiveness, a sense of rhythm, and more. It is especially important to be mindful to try to resonate positive feelings that will foster well-being and cognitive development as we seek to complement different energetic levels. And as I go through information in this podcast, some of this information will be repetitious because I want to emphasize my experience and scientific information about the development of the baby in the womb and thereafter. The baby also relates to routines that are consistent that involve the mother during certain things consistently and habitually during certain times of the day. These simple routines and activities may include waking, sleeping, low-impact exercise, cleaning, walking, etc. The purposeful, consistently timed, over and over again deliberate repetition of routines gives the baby a sense of greater alertness, rhythm, and comfort of what to be attuned to and what is coming next. The development baby also shows early responses and alertness to the repetition of touch and feeling. When I was pregnant with my son, I would often touch my belly and massage it gently in a circular motion and make up my own cognitive rhythm and tag experience that related to where and when I felt the baby move. I would put a gentle pat-tap rhythm and touch where my developing baby was moving and how he would move. I would relate my sense of touch to my baby's energetic levels from when he moved a little and also when he moved a lot. When I went for one of my sonograms later in my pregnancy, a nurse commented, "What is your baby doing? He is moving so much. Why does he move so much like that?" I replied, "He has real rhythm. I don't know what he is doing. It is like he is dancing." "Is he dancing?" the nurse asked. "I guess he is," I replied, and then said, "My baby is very sensitive to bonding with me, and I feel he senses environmental changes. I think he is also attuned to my voice when I talk and when other people talk. He is also very accustomed to me singing and reading to him. This has also developed his alertness and responsiveness and rhythm." In terms of cognitive development, important information processing and early development of a nice inner confidence and potential singing voice, I recommend you sing to your baby in the womb 3 times a day. I sung to my baby at set times in the morning, afternoon, and evening for set durations. However, during afternoons, when I was out and about with my baby, I would often sing more to soothe and emphasize interest in baby songs he recognized. I also recommend reciting nursery rhymes and very short baby stories with key concepts and words. This should all be done repetitiously at the same time and same interval of time 3 times a day. Apart from the mother, it should also be noted that research studies show the developing baby can recognize the father's voice inside the womb and after birth. In order to believe in the earliest, fullest sense of developing sensory awareness and the development of cognition in the womb, I propose an intelligence to rely on sensory awareness exists from the time the fetus starts to develop. This awareness can be fostered and heightened by the parents' bonding and through talking, reading, singing, doing activities, diet, and experience. This is significant because it implies a fetus can discriminate sensations and have impulse responses towards your actions and your thoughts. To me, this is the start of the opportunity to train the developing baby to have learned reactions or responses to positive repetitious behavior. For people of any age, our ability to recognize and learn is fostered by our behaviors, habits, and reactions. As far as more advanced sensory and brain mechanisms for hearing in the womb, this development occurs around 30 weeks of gestational age. According to science at the University of Washington studying fetal development, at this stage, unborn babies are listening to their mother's talk during the last 10 weeks of pregnancy, and at birth they can demonstrate what they have heard through alertness. Learning from a parent or both parents begins in the womb. In the last 10 weeks of pregnancy, the baby is developing implicit memory, which influences the developing subconscious and conscious mind. Optimally, the developing baby bonds and learns in the womb from the earliest stages. Now let's talk about the positives of how much music affects the baby in the womb. I have found that listening to baby music and classical music affects and encourages relaxation and cognitive development in the fetus because music and communication facilitates neuron connections in the brain. In other words, listening and experiencing music stimulates the brain of the fetus and assists with the growth of brain structures and encourages bonding. In terms of well-being, music can have a happy, harmonizing, soothing effect on the mother and the baby. To enhance a natural bonding experience with the baby, I always sung. Sometimes I would sing along to background music, like The Muffin Man, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, or Pop Goes the Weasel, and so on. But most of the time I would just sing on my own to my baby without music accompanied in the background, all in a rhythmic way that combined daily singing, reading, talking, consistent routines, diet, and exercise. I strive to have my baby in his own personal world of well-being, learning from and reacting and responding. In contrast, there is research from tinylove.com that states music should be used minimally with baby with a focus on listening for pleasure and not for assisting in the baby's development. In response to this, I believe my education enabled me to create a loving, caring, understanding, stimulating environment that was positive and enhanced the earliest stages of cognitive responses and memory bonding, was harmonious and not pressured. Now let's talk about verbal and fetal development more. It may seem implausible that the fetus can listen to and recall some speech within the womb, but the sound processing parts of the brain become active in the last trimester of pregnancy, and sound carries fairly well through the mother's abdomen, even though the baby in the womb may hear sounds in a muffled way. The baby can actually hear and recognize the sound and rhythm of speech and music and can familiarize himself with familiar songs, along with the way the mother talks and the tone of her voice. Once the fetus learns a sound, if repeated enough, they form a memory of it, which is activated when they hear a sound again. I believe that teaching the baby through rhythm, sensory awareness, speaking, teaching, and singing can speed up recognition of sounds, vowels, vowel strength, pitch changes, and syllables. I believe the fetus can become aware of and learn much more potentially than we currently have short and long-term research examples to present. However, even though some studies show that there is also strong evidence that developing babies can learn in utero, there is some information in the same studies from Science Magazine and the University of Washington that show no evidence of improved language or vocal ability. For this bit of evidence, I think we need to keep in mind that there are always variables that come into play when and where learning starts. Along with these variables, we have to consider differences in genetics, environment, personality, overall health, education, environment, diet, and the ability to apply what we know in an effective, personalized way for the development of the fetus in the womb and through the lifespan that would foster consistency, ability, resilience, and increased learning potential. Like anything, we have to foster a balance and middle ground with learning so that the developing child in the womb and throughout later stages in life does not get repeatedly overstimulated. Next, let's talk about the influence of exercise and other consistent daily habits. While I was pregnant, I also did low-impact stretching exercises for 15 to 20 minutes three times a day and took at least two walks a day to connect with my baby and with nature. During walks or doing things outdoors and other routines, I always talked to my baby on a simplistic level as if he was there. I was also deliberate and consistent with anything else I would do on a daily basis in terms of tasks at certain times of the day, such as cleaning or showering, waking, walking, sleeping, eating, and any other activity that I repeated, I would try to do in the same way at the same time each day. As far as eating habits, I ate mostly whole foods, unprocessed foods, in a balanced daily diet. I took my prenatal vitamins and went for daily checkups. After my baby's birth, I breastfed. I believe that this aided in the overall health, resilience, and increased cognitive ability of my baby. As with many things, you should check with your nurse educator and doctors regarding breastfeeding and overall health and diet. So I am setting out to prove my theory to you that the love of lifelong learning begins in the womb and that through certain actions we may be able to increase bonding, receptiveness, many forms of verbal and vocal skills, and increase short-term and long-term cognitive ability from the womb through adulthood. I was always amazed and in awe that it always seemed that my baby was so alert and rhythmic inside and outside the womb. As mentioned, because of my baby's alertness and focus, it always seemed that my baby was right there with me because of his alertness and focus. It may seem unbelievable, but he uttered clear, repetitive sounds like ma, on, and up at several months. At times, I also noticed an unusual clear, focused gaze, along with a strong attention span. My baby developed exceptional communication skills early on. He recognized some words and some letters and sounds as I was beginning to read to him over and over again. He would hear my expression, and I would ask him basic questions and point out things in the story to keep his interest. My baby transitioned to short, clear sentences remarkably early. He started reading by recognizing sight words and letter sounds at 10 and a half months, which may seem hard to believe to some. At 10 months, my baby could also visually pick out some letters when prompted. After 10 and a half months, we also worked a little on prefixes and suffixes and chunking words to sound them out. We made some slow and steady progress, which is incredible for a baby just over 10 and a half months. Through all this, all my examples and information about my experiences that I'm giving you, talking about my baby, I want you to keep in mind that as my baby later developed into a child, my baby was exceptional and gifted. So different things will hold for different people in terms of their baby's development and what can be learned. I know my son doesn't think of it, but he didn't develop rapid critical thinking skills out of nowhere. Obviously, he had an innate personality and innate potential, but his learning and verbal and vocal skills needed to be fostered. I attribute my son's advanced ability to learn cognitively to his ability to speak with young children patiently at their level and share his interest in fishing. Along with this, I attribute his confidence in voice and vocal ability for chorus to be fostered by activities that developed through his early verbal vocal ability and ability to focus and learn quickly. Overall, lifelong learning and cognitive learning development and information processing and application could be fostered throughout the lifespan, along with the potential to acquire critical skills such as ways of thinking and other cognitive process abilities. As we get older, increased studying and learning from childhood through adulthood can help us stay mentally active, mentally sharp, and can even make our mind feel younger and quicker than average for our age. Also, people who are continually learning tend to be happier, finding useful information they can utilize. Continuing to learn throughout the lifespan can make you feel more fulfilled in daily activities and can make you feel more confident and successful as a whole person who works to self-actualize his or her skills. You can't force anyone to learn. There has to be a willingness, a willpower, and a desire to learn and understand. This sparks our interest in learning and cultivates the ability to learn, along with the support of readiness to learn new things. The parent or parents should be attuned and educated with how to deal with their developing child during different stages and milestones. We all learn differently at different paces and rates of processing, absorbing, organizing, and applying information. Too much pressure can curtail learning and the persistence to learn. We want to work on increasing cognitive skills step by step at the right challenge level throughout the lifespan. In conclusion, we are always learning from the womb through adulthood. To foster cognitive abilities and lifelong learning, it helps to always be actively engaged with others and constantly supported socially and emotionally. It is important to give our brains a workout to increase brain progress and cognitive skill speed. We can do this through reading, problem-solving activities, communicating, synthesizing, and applying information, and finding a career and social and recreational activities that are engaging, interesting, and fulfilling to us. Also, it is good to play games of cognitive skill, memory, knowledge, and testing. If you are interested in reading more health and scientific research about the developing awareness and cognitive abilities of the fetus and beyond, you can find related research information from Psychology Today, Yale Research, Science Magazine, the Child Mind Institute, the University of Washington, and tinylove.com. I also suggest you do your own Google search to find more on this topic and topics related to the awareness of cognitive development throughout the lifespan, lifelong learning. I hope you found this podcast interesting and beneficial in terms of getting you things to think about as far as the development of the baby in the womb and the development of the whole person's cognitive abilities and potential through the lifespan.